Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to celebrity health and wellness expert A.D. Dolphin about working with Steve Harvey, the plant-based diet craze, and much more. Marietta's new theater in the Squares, Raul Thomas, is here, along with director Nikki Starr, to chat about the company's new production of Smokey Joe's Cafe. And closing out the show is my exclusive interview with Atlanta-based dancer and choreographer Jewel D. Lane. He has a new work that is part of the Ailey 2 Atlanta engagement that is taking place on Saturday, October 21st at the Rialto Center for the Arts. We'll also be playing music from the legendary George Benson, along with Her and throwback sounds from Erykah Badu. But first, here's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news with Reva Blue.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Central Casting is currently looking for girls' soccer teams that are between the ages of 10 to 13 with matching non-descriptive uniforms. If this is you, please send an email with your first and last name, your contact phone number, and a photo of your team in their uniform to goodgirls@centralcasting.com with soccer in the subject line of the email. Central Casting is looking for men and women to portray dinner patrons for an upcoming episode of Fox's Star. The actors must be 18 years and older. If this is you, please submit to star@centralcasting.com with fine dine in the subject line of the email. In other related entertainment news, congratulations to multi-award-winning actress Viola Davis. She is teaming up with Insecure co-creator Larry Wilmore and Insecure co-executive producer Regina Hicks for a new ABC comedy titled Black Don't Crack. The show is written and executive produced by Hicks and will center around three sorority sisters who lost touch after college. However, the ladies reunite during a pivotal point in each of their lives and realize now that they are of a certain age and that no one will be there for you like your sisters. Stay close to Upfront for updates about the project as it continues to develop. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue.
Support for WCLK programming comes from Georgia State's Rialto Center, presenting jazz saxophonist Pharoah Sanders with his quartet on Saturday, October 14th at 8 p.m. Sanders is best known for his avant-garde and world fusion sound and will share the stage with William Henderson, Nat Reeves, and Joe Farnsworth. Ticket information is available online at rialto.gsu.edu.
Hi, this is Iyanla Van Zandt, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
Upfront listeners, this is Ray Cornelius urging you to make your pledge of support for this show and the countless others that you listen to throughout the week at WCLK.com. Remember, your contributions keep programs like this on the air. Membership matters at Jazz 91.9 WCLK. My first segment features the CEO of D Herbs, A.D. Dolphin. For over a decade now, the former basketball player turned health and wellness expert has been helping celebrities get in shape with his herbal supplements and has appeared on such national programs as the D.L. Hughley Show and the Steve Harvey Show. Dolphin was in Atlanta earlier this week and stopped by the Upfront Studios to discuss working with Steve Harvey, Hollywood's latest obsession with plant-based diets, and preparing for his upcoming book. Well, good morning, A.D. Dolphin, and welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I'm doing great and happy to be here.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, it's a pleasure having you here in the studio. You're a very busy guy.
Man, I try to be, but I love Atlanta. Yeah. I love coming back to this city. This is an awesome city you guys have here.
Thank you. Well, congrats on all of your success, AD. You're actually a regular on one of my favorite television shows, the Steve Harvey Show, where you talk nutrition and health and all good things, all exercise and all that good stuff. So let's talk about how you got started in the business.
Wow. So I used to play professional basketball overseas in Australia. I got hurt. I came home. I began gaining weight. And that's kind of like how I got introduced to cleansing, because it helps you shed weight. So I began doing multiple cleanses. And then that's when the light bulb went on. And I realized, wow, I really like this. And I think there's a business here. So therefore, I put together my herbal team. I put together my business plan. And then I set out. I went for it.
Now, how did you get connected to Steve Harvey? Because that's a really big platform.
Man, it was just luck, and it was just something that I guess what was supposed to happen. We met a guy named Dennis Brownlee, and he's one of the major players on the Premier, which kind of owned the Steve Harvey Show, and they thought I was a good fit, and they brought me on the show, and I stuck. And then we went from there, from radio to actually TV.
Wow.
And I stuck again. I'm getting lucky.
Yeah.
I'm sticking all over the place.
You are. So we're about to go into the fall where we've got some major holidays coming up that involve food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Halloween's a lot of candy, a lot of sweets and sugar. You know, then there's Thanksgiving with, you know, the cakes and the macaroni and cheese. Then you've got Christmas
New Year's.
All of that good stuff.
Wow.
So, you know, a lot of folks now are on this plant-based diet. You know, everybody's, you know, vegan now.
Right. It's a new word.
Right. Is it a fad? Do you think that it's a fad?
No, it's the future.
Yeah?
Man, it's definitely the future. People are learning more and more about how we're supposed to eat. And basically, the more we learn, the more information that we have, the more we can make the food companies step up. And that's what's really happening. They're starting to step up and realizing people have more understanding of what's going on as far as the ingredients, and they're having to do different things.
Yeah. Now, a large part of this was spurred by a lot of celebrities who have now gone vegan or they're on plant-based diets. A lot of them are kind of our go-to, you know, when we think of style and what's next, what's hot. So a lot of them are vegan. How do most of them get started, I guess, on a plan going from, you know, meat to no meat?
Well, you know, I think people are always chasing how to be healthier. You know, people are always looking for new ways of religion, a new exercise, and, you know, a new way of living. And that's what veganism is all about. So just learning more and more about what you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to do it is kind of intriguing people. And people need to know that we are natural vegetarians. We are supposed to. They can tell by the design of your teeth what we're supposed to eat, and we're not supposed to eat meat, unfortunately.
Really?
I know man has done it for hundreds of years, but technically we're not supposed to eat meat.
Okay. All right, I'm gonna challenge you on that, because I have some fangs up here in the front that you know, I love my chicken, so you know, it's kind of, you know.
Well, you know, you were introduced to it early.
Yeah.
You were introduced to it early.
So that was the voice of Beyonce Knowles, Carter Knowles. Knowles Carter, I always get that mixed up. Knowles Carter.
I think she could be called whatever she wants.
Whatever she wants to be.
There you
Bae,
go.
Right? Well, yeah. We'll just call her Bae. But that's one of your many celebrity clients that you've worked with over the years. Her, Niecy Nash, Anthony Anderson. What was it like working with her?
Well, I didn't work with Beyonce personally.
Okay.
So we have a mutual associate that gave her the cleanse, and she did the cleanse prior to going on tour.
Oh, wow.
She wanted to get in shape before she went on tour, and she performed a cleanse,
yeah.
And she loved it.
Now, what about Niecy Nash and Anthony Anderson?
Anthony Anderson.
Because he looks great. Not that he didn't look great before, but I could definitely tell. I mean, his skin is really clear.
Well, Anthony Anderson, he's awesome.
Yeah.
He actually came into D'Herbs and purchased the cleanse.
Wow. Wow.
He just walked in one day and purchased the cleanse.
Wow.
So it was kind of shocking seeing him.
So let's go over for our you know, those that are tuning in. What's a typical menu, like
say, you know, because I know that some menus, like people like to, on, you know, Mondays it's this and Tuesdays right. it's this. So what's like a typical menu for our listening audience?
For first, let me kind of tell them, you know, what is the D'Herbs Full Body okay. Cleanse. So okay. basically the Full Body Cleanse is consists of seven different formula, all geared to clean out your major eliminative channels.
Okay.
That's your gallbladder, your heart, your liver, your colon, your spleen, your lungs, your kidneys, your adrenal glands, your blood, and your skin. It's going to help you flush out the impurities in all those particular areas of your body. Also on the cleanse, which kind of leads to your question with, is that you can eat fresh fruits, vegetables, raw nuts, and raw seeds throughout your 20-day experience. A typical day on the cleanse would be like, let's say if you start off the day with like a smoothie and then in like a fruit smoothie, juicing, something along those lines. And then maybe for lunch, you did like a green leafy salad. And then you could probably go onto our website and find a nice raw food meal that you can actually prepare. So that's like the typical day. We have thousands of recipes. It's a lot of different various things that you can actually do on the cleanse. And, you know, people always think they're going to have this boring experience, but it can be as exciting as you want it. All you have to do is go onto dherbs.com, look at that recipe section, and then just have at it.
Now, I want to go back to my chicken thing, because I okay. love, you know, and for me, it's about, I guess, when I think of just eating vegetables all day is not having that full feeling. And I like, you know, after I eat something to feel full. You so, like? Yeah.
I think you like it now. I think you like it now. I think that's probably one of the things on the cleanse. When you feel light, fresh, clean, and it changes things for you. You'll be able to move. You just have more energy.
Right.
There's so many benefits of the cleanse as far as like weight loss between 10 and 30 pounds if your body actually needs to do that. We're talking about energy being 12 years old all over again.
Oh, wow.
We're talking, yeah, I know. We're talking about sleeping better. A lot of people have trouble sleeping, being able to focus and concentrate better, you'll feel like you're actually the smartest people in the room, the smartest person in the room. You'll be really locked into every single conversation. So it's a lot of beautiful things that can happen when you're on a cleanse. You just got to take the time, do it. I'm telling you, that full feeling that you say you have that thirst for, it's going to change because you're going to have a different experience. And I just think that people should do the cleanse wholeheartedly, commit to the 20 days so they can see what the other side is like, because they may find something that they totally enjoy.
Yeah. Now I'm going to ask you to jog your memory and kind of reach back into the vault. Is there a particular celebrity that just had a really hard time kind of transitioning into, you know, just
Steve Harvey. So Steve Harvey, that's my guy. Period.
Right.
That's just my guy right yeah. there. So what Steve did, Steve asked me to come down, and that's one of the celebrities that I'm super close with. He asked me to come down and said, I want you to do the cleanse with me. First 10 days, I want you to be there with me. I was like, no problem. Because like I said, that's my guy. And in the beginning, you know, he complained a little. He was like, man, we're going to have to come up with some new recipes. So he had me working. But, you know, he got through it. He had a great experience. He lost about 15 pounds, I think between 15 and 18, if my memory's right.
Okay.
And he had, you know, and the one thing that he loved is the same thing I love, the focus. He'll say, I've never, ever been that sharp. And, you know, you'll be able to really lock in.
Wow. So what's next for you?
What's next for me? God, I don't know what God has next. God has coming up for me, but you know, I'm really thinking about doing a book.
Okay.
I'm really about thinking about doing a book. So that may be the next stop for me. In fact, I already know we have one in the works.
Wow. Can you give us a little bit, just a little bit about what's?
Well, it's going to be a book that it's going to be like a memory book about that charts your whole entire cleansing experience.
Okay.
It's going to be filled with quotes, stuff to help people get through. They're going to have to do things along with social media. It's going to be like an interactive book.
Okay.
I think that's probably the best way to
kind of like a living journal.
And then you'll be able to go back, and that's exactly what it is. You'll be able to go back and see how you lost that 20 pounds.
Yeah. Now, what do you think is one of the biggest misconceptions about going from a meat diet to a plant-based diet?
one of the biggest misconceptions is that you're not going to get enough protein. That's probably the biggest one. Because everyone thinks that, you know, that you only get protein from meat, which is absolutely 100% not true. There's protein in every single thing that you eat.
All right.
So that's probably the biggest misconception.
Well, thank you so much. That is the gospel according to A.D. Dolphin on having a plant-based diet and being more sharp and just really creating a few more years, I would say, on your life.
We all want those years. Years are important.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for stopping by Upfront. And how can our fans continue to follow you on social media?
Oh, absolutely. A.D. Dolphin. So that's A.D.D.O.L.P.H.I.N. on Instagram, Facebook, basically all the social media platforms. I'm on all of them.
All right. Thank you so much.
No problem. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Hey, Upfront listeners, yours truly will be hosting a post-screening discussion of the independent film 20 Feet from Stardom. It takes place this Wednesday, October 11th at 7 p.m. at the Rialto Center for the Arts and is open to the public. Joining me for the discussion are singers Keisha Jackson, Rhonda Thomas, and Deborah Killings. Check out WCLK.com for more details, and I'll see you there. They say the neon lights are bright on Broadway. Say there's always magic in the air. But when you're walking down that street and you ain't had enough to eat, the glitter rubs right off and you're nowhere. You just heard a clip of jazz guitarist George Benson performing the classic tune on Broadway. The song was written by the iconic songwriting team of Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller and is just one of the 40 hit records featured in the musical review Smokey Joe's Cafe. Marietta's New Theater in the Square is doing their version of the show now through October 22nd. The company's owner, Raul Thomas, and the show's director, Nikki Starr, stopped by the Upfront Studios this week to chat about the production and much more. Well, good morning, guys, and welcome to Upfront. How are you?
Great. How about yourself?
I am doing just fine.
Wonderful. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. So we've got something really exciting that's going down.
Yes, sir.
Over at the Marietta's New Theater in the Square. I'm talking about Smokey Joe's Cafe, which is happening now through October the 22nd. And we're excited. Great music, a great evening of classics. And so let's talk a little bit about the show.
Great show that ran 10 years on Broadway. And it's one of those shows that you can go into, whatever's going on outside in the world, you can go in there and you can forget all of it because it takes you back to 50s. The atmosphere is 50s, and a couple of brothers, Lieber and Stroller, wrote a bunch of songs, and they wrote for everybody. Everybody from Elvis to Benny King, the Searchers, the Drifters, the Robins, they wrote for everybody. And they just had this huge library of music that people are trying to forget. And we're not going to let them.
Yeah.
The music was too good.
Yeah. Now the show includes songs like On Broadway, which there have been several versions, but I think most people remember the George Benson version.
Yes.
Hound Dog, which of course was, I think that was what, Ma Rainey?
Ma Rainey.
Yeah. Hey, I know a little bit of history.
most people say Elvis,
right,
but
right,
it
right,
was
right.
Ma,
it was Ma
Rainey.
Rainey.
Yes,
right.
Sir.
And then also Jailhouse Rock. So when you have songs like that, the mm-hmm. audience is definitely getting up and moving and dancing, right?
Moving, singing, dancing, having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Just having a lot of fun.
Now, Nick, you're actually the company's very first guest director. How did you get involved with this show?
Oh, wow. Talking to Mr. Emil Thomas. knew him when he was still in high school.
Wow.
Yeah, and he him and his father came to a show. And then years later, we pushed forward about 5-6 years later. He see me, he said, "You remember me?" And I was on stage, so you don't always get to see the audience. But he went and told me everything I did in a particular show.
Wow.
And it blew my mind. And then after that, I saw his work. And that's where he got me back because he captured me. Awesome young man.
Now, we're talking about Mr. Raul Thomas, who's being a little quiet over there. Raul.
Well, he's actually talking about Emil.
Emil.
He's talking about Emil. Okay. Emil was one of his... one of the kids that followed him for years and years on. Actually, when I first came to Georgia, my very first play that Emil dragged me to was at Theater in the Square.
Okay.
At that time, it was called Theater in the Square. And this gentleman did an amazing job that actually gave me a little love and passion for the theater.
Okay. Now let's talk about that, because you guys have done some amazing work over there. We've had you on, but Emil's usually been here, but now this is your very first time.
Thanks for bringing me over. You know? I really, really appreciate it. Yeah. So we at Marietta New Theater in the Square, we're just trying to bring some new work, some good work, some classic work, and just be able to reach out to those that enjoy the art, but at the same time, Ray, just love and have passion for theater. Yes. As you guys know, everything has an Emil twist. So every single show that he puts out has just a different twist. So whether it was Native Son, or whether it was, you know, now with Glass Menagerie that just closed last Sunday.
Right.
You know, we're just trying to keep it moving so that not only he grows, but that the community grows with us.
Right.
So this is why we brought Nikki Starr on, because Nikki has a knack of having his own twist, and we need to give Emil a break. So he's getting ready for the holiday shows, and because he's getting ready for the holiday shows, we thought that it was apropos to bring somebody that captured us years and years and years ago, before we even thought we were going to own a theater.
It's been a blessing.
Now I was going to ask, what was, because you guys, like you said, you did Native Son, you did Bright Half Life, Glass Menagerie. What made you guys want to do Smokey Joe's Cafe? Because this has been a show that's been around forever. I mean, Gladys Knight has performed in versions of it. A lot of big names have performed in versions of this show. So what made you guys decide to do it, Raul?
Well, I actually approached Nick.
Right.
And I actually was invited by Nick to see a show that he was doing in Fulton County.
Okay.
And I wanted to see his new work, see how he was still handling it on the stage, see if he still had it. And my wife and I sat there in the front row, and we watched Nick, and I just turned around, I looked at her, and I said, I got to get him in my theater. And we're going to talk about this, and we're going to see what we're going to do. So anyway, I called Nick a couple of days later, and I said, Nick, we need to sit down and talk. He had no idea what I was going to tell him. And I said, Nick, if you had to do one show, and just one show that you know that's going to kill it and give you a name, which would it be? He didn't hesitate. He didn't think twice. He said, Smokey Joe's Cafe.
That's
so I said, well, that's it. That's the one we're going to do.
Yeah.
I said, what are you talking about? He says, that's the one we're going to do. Get ready. You're directing it.
Yeah, just as simple. And Smokey is just, for this time, you know, for all the madness going on, and to just go into a place and sit in the dark and forget and just get away from all of that, that's the beautiful thing about theater. You know, there's no color. There's no theater. There's no color to theater. You just go in and you enjoy.
Yeah.
If it's done right. And Raul and Emil gave us the opportunity to be in a space where we can get it right. And, you know, you can't ask for more than that.
Now, Raul, in addition to this show, you guys have some other shows that are coming up, some holiday shows. So let's talk a little bit about those as well.
Yeah, Ray, we're busy, man. I never thought that this was going to be the way turning out the way it is. This year has been an amazing year. We have put on some amazing shows. But now for the holidays, we have even more. As you know, Smokey Joe's Cafe opens up opened up Thursday,
right?
And it's opening up with a bang. But this Saturday, right now, tonight, we'll have Vanessa Fractions headlining her comedy show for the second night, as well as we got Emil coming back with Gift of the Magi, which he has rewritten now for the second time. It's his own adaptation of Gift of the Magi, which takes place on 1950 Streetcar Fest here in Atlanta.
Oh, wow.
So he rewrote it to the same thing. You still have Della with the hair, cutting her hair, and the husband selling his fob so that they can have that great gift for each other, but realizes that they sold it. But now he added two other characters, and it takes it a little bit deeper to 1950 Streetcar Strike here in Atlanta, which gives it exactly almost 100 years since it took place.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So it's pretty good. So right after that, we're going to change it up a little bit. Now that's in November. That takes place in November. And in December, we'll be doing Frosty, which is another adaptation of Frosty the Snowman for the children in the holiday show. And it'll be playing the whole month of December. We'll be doing 19 shows in the month of December of Frosty that actually takes place in Central Park in New York.
Wow.
So Frosty comes to life in Central Park on Marietta New Theater in the Square in December, from December 3rd running till December 31st.
Wow. Well, guys, thank you so much for stopping by the Upfront Studios. Again, you guys have provided us with some great shows, and we've had Emil on, like I said, a couple of times, so it's really good to have you in the studio, Raul.
Yeah, sometimes it's better to not just pay the bills, but sometimes get on the other side, right? Absolutely.
And again, we're talking about Smokey Joe's Cafe, which is happening now through October the 22nd. To get more information about that, you can check it all out at WCLK.com.
Support for WCLK programming comes from Arts at Tech, presenting Spanish Harlem Orchestra, the 13-member ensemble directed by pianist Oscar Hernandez, performs on Friday, October 13th at the First Center for the Arts. Ticket information is available at 404-894-9600 or online at arts.gatech.edu.
Hey Upfront listeners, this is Ray Cornelius urging you to make your pledge of support for this show and the countless others that you listen to throughout the week at WCLK.com. Remember, your contributions keep programs like this on the air. Membership matters at Jazz 91.9 WCLK.
Wish you would just focus on me. Can you focus on me? Can you focus on me?
You just heard music from the artist Her that will be featured in Jewel D. Lane's new work for Ailey 2 titled Touch and Agree. The world-renowned dance company will be making its Rialto Center debut on Saturday, October 21st, and Jewel stopped by to discuss what it was like working with such an iconic brand. He also recalls his days as a student of the Freddie Hendrix Youth Ensemble and much more.
Well, good morning, Jewel D. Lane, and welcome to Upfront. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. I can't complain.
Yeah? I am so excited to have you here in the studio. And I know my listeners are probably like, you say that about all of your guests. Yeah. But no, I really, really, really am excited to have you in here. This has been a long time coming.
It sure has.
Like, yeah.
And I'm like super excited just to be in the room too. Yeah. With you. So yeah, it's been a long time.
Now, I've said this before and I'll say this again. I just remember you as a kid.
Oh.
In times.
Oh, man.
Freddie Hendrix Youth Ensemble. Yeah, I'm going all the way back. All the way back to 1998, maybe 99.
97-ish?
Yeah. And I remember seeing you on stage, and I was like, this guy's going to be a star.
Mm.
This guy's going to be big. And here it is, 20 years later.
Still dancing.
But you're doing really big things. You're working with Alvin Ailey, too,
yes.
Or Ailey, too, as they just like to call it. And there's something special that they're going to be bringing to the city of Atlanta on the weekend of October 20th. We're talking to dancer, choreographer extraordinaire, Mr. Jewel D. Lane. And again, he's going to be working with Ailey, too. This is a very big premiere for the Rialto Center. Our good friends over there, the Rialto Center for the Performing Arts at Georgia State. They are presenting this wonderful evening of dance with Ailey, too, which is a company that you don't really get to see as much as the main company.
Right.
Right.
But the dancers there are just so beautiful and they work so hard. And so what happens is that some of those dancers are promoted to the first company. They have to audition. So it's pretty much like a training ground,
yeah.
But it's also a performance opportunity to give these young dancers a opportunity just to perform and shine.
So it's almost like this is like kindergarten and they're graduating.
Absolutely.
To,
yeah.
So let me ask you, how did you get involved with this? Because like I said, I've known you for a very long time, and I was surprised. I was like, well, why hasn't this guy ever worked with, with Ailey? And then you kind of pulled me to the side and said, hey, I got something to tell you.
Right. But you can't tell nobody.
You can't tell nobody. And so how did this all come together?
Yeah. Well, Robert Battle, the artistic director for the first company, Alvin Ailey, he has a wonderful platform called the New Directions Choreography Lab, and it gives dancers an opportunity to work with the Fordham Ailey students, and it's no pressure, no deadline. He's like, want to give you space, want to just have you just create, and it just kind of went from there, and he came to the final showing, and we just made a good connection, and I also knew the artistic director of Ailey 2, Troy Powell. I've been knowing him since I was 22. Wow. I used to take his class all the time. And he would actually invite me in to teach for Ailey 2. And, you know, just I'm real big on, like, the divine order and just being very patient. And, you know, Troy gave me a call. He was like, we need to talk. And I was like, oh, what is this? He probably wants me to teach again. And I remember when he called and I had my, like, notepad. And he was like, why do you have your notepad in front of you? I'm like, I just want to take some notes, you know. He was like, you know I'm calling you, right? And I was like, no, is it to teach? He was like, no, I want you to set a piece on the company. And I think I, like, froze for, like, 10 seconds. Like, what?
Yeah.
This is really happening. And I was like, of course, yes.
Yeah, wow. And so I you know, I had to hold on to that information for, you know, quite some time. And anyone that knows me knows that I love Ailey. I've been a supporter of them, gosh, for well over 20 years. I'm also an ambassador for the city. So whenever they come to town each February, I'm usually there promoting and letting folks know about it. But we were so excited about this because, again, we rarely see Ailey 2. So we're excited that the Rialto has stepped up to do this. So you've got a piece that you've choreographed that's titled Touch and Agree, and it deals with romantic, physical, and emotional intimacy, particularly with same-sex relationships. So let's talk about that. What was the inspiration behind Touch and Agree?
Well, you know, honestly, in all my works, the inspiration is just from my personal experience. You know, I think sometimes when you're in a relationship, it's hard to figure out and hard to navigate how do you love someone. And then at the same token, you're trying to love yourself, and then society is telling you you're one thing. And it's like, well, how can I take all of that into a relationship? And so I wanted to make a piece that dealt with that, but also celebrated who we are, and just kind of simply asked the question. And it's not like a piece that, you know, you're going to leave the theater knowing everything, but it's just I want you to be able to make it universal, where if it's a heterosexual couple, homosexual couple, everybody can pretty much relate to it.
Yeah. Wow. Now the piece incorporates some amazing music. We've got Sam Cooke that's a part of this. What made you decide, you know what, we need some Sam Cooke for this?
Well, you know, I've always been a fan of Sam Cooke, and he's timeless, and I felt like he's so before his time, and I feel like whenever I create work, I want to make sure that it's timeless, and I felt like Sam Cooke is that dude. You know, his voice is just velvet, and I thought, you know, he would be a great soundscape just for the piece.
Yeah. Now, after you signed the paperwork and did all the, you know, pomp and circumstances, I like to call it, with Ailey 2, the creating of Touch and Agree, what was that process like? I mean, do you just kind of go off to you know, take a vacation and come up with the moves, or do you just lock yourself up in a room? What was that? Take us through that process of creating this.
Well, I sat really long and hard and trying to figure out what in the heck am I going to do. And I knew whatever I did, I had to make sure that my voice was heard. So Touch and Agree is a piece I've honestly been working on since 2010. And it actually started off as a duet. And it started off at a concert here in Atlanta. It's a choreographer by the name of Daryl Foster. He had a really wonderful platform called Lift. And he gave me a topic long time ago. He said, I want you to do a duet. I want you to incorporate sexuality. And I was like, what am I going to do with sexuality? So when I did it, it went really well. And I told myself, I said, I just want to really expand this. And I started teaching at North Carolina School of the Arts for a year. And I was like, this is the perfect opportunity to kind of like just expand this piece. And when that was settled, the moment I got the call from Ailey, I knew in the back of my head, I was like, I have to do Touch and Agree because it's the most personal and it's me. And I felt like I wanted to kind of change the trajectory a little bit in the steps, but I thought it would be a great body of work to do.
So Ailey 2's performance is actually being presented, again, as we said at the top of the segment, by the Rialto Center for the Arts. It's actually their debut performance there. But this performance is actually part of the company's bigger initiative that they've been doing really for the last year, which is called Destination Dance. And that is part of the city's bigger arts program, Elevate. So what can fans expect from that performance, that snippet of a performance on that Friday night?
So yeah, so it's a snippet. So when you hear snippet, if you blink your eyes, you're going to miss everything. So they will probably do the fourth section of my piece, which is entitled Legendary. So they'll probably do that. But if folks really want to get like the whole like menu, the whole entree, you got to come to the October 21st show so you can really see everything.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So at the top of the hour, we mentioned that you were part of the Freddie Hendrix, the now legendary Freddie Hendrix Youth Ensemble
of Atlanta.
What would you say was the biggest lesson that you learned? Because that, to me, was almost like Atlanta's version of fame. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they produced triple threat performers. You had to be able to sing, dance, and act. So mm-hmm. what was the biggest lesson that you learned
being
a part of that?
I think the biggest lesson for me is to be, that I actually learned was to just to be vulnerable in the space. And I think that's one thing that Freddie Hendrix was really big on. And he, I don't know what it is. He had like this magic wand, and it's just not me. It was so many of us that he had a way of just pulling what we desired. He pulled that out of us. And the moment he lit that match, it's just like it kept going. And I think a part of that was just learning how to be confident. And I'm just forever grateful to the organization. I still go back and teach, you know, because I feel like it's a part of who I am. So
yeah. Now, what's new for you? What's next after Ailey 2? Because you're touring with the company throughout the country, right?
Well, the piece is actually touring. I won't be touring. Okay. I mean, that would be really fun. Yeah. But no, they're going to be touring my piece throughout the year. And they actually have a season in New York at the top of the year.
Okay.
As for me, I have a lot of things in works. And, you know, I got some things underneath my sleeve and in my bag of wonderfulness. Yeah. So, you know, I would just tell people just to kind of stay tuned to my Instagram. They can follow me at Jewel D. Lane. It's on every social media site. And you can stay tuned to all the cool stuff that I'm doing.
Yeah. You're a very busy guy. Well, thank you so much, Jewel, for being a guest on Upfront. We are so happy to have you in the studio. For more information about Touch and Agree and the Ailey 2 performance that is taking place on Saturday, October 21st at the Rialto Center for the Arts, you can get more information about that at WCLK.com. We'll also have more information about Destination Dance and Elevate. So definitely check that out at WCLK.com. Thank you so much for listening to today's show. I'd really like to thank all of my special guests, A.D. Dolphin, Raul Thomas, Nikki Starr, and Jewel D. Lane. I would also like to thank my engineer, Mark Angel, and you. Please join us next Saturday, October 14th at 9 a.m. for another exciting edition of Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.